Ukraine security issue.
On July 9th, 136th day of Ukraine's heroic resistance to Russian invaders, Ukrainian cities were again struck by Russian shells and missiles. In the early morning, Russian rocket artillery shelled residential blocks in Kryvyi Rih, Dnipropetrovsk region. As a result, two women were killed and one person was taken to hospital with multiple shrapnel wounds. According to Valentin Reznichenko, head of the Dnipropetrovsk region military administration, a school and several apartment buildings were destroyed. Also on Saturday, seven residents of Kharkiv city were injured in a missile strike on a residential area. The Russians also continued to shell villages in the Sumy and Chernihiv regions, located near the Russian border. The Russian army has intensified artillery and strikes in the eastern Ukraine, destroying civilian infrastructure and trying to advance on Kramatorsk, Donetsk region. But the Ukrainian defenders hold the line, repelling numerous attacks. On Saturday, they thwarted the enemy's attempt to seize a thermal power plant in Vuhledar, Donetsk region. In the south of the city, despite intensifying shelling, the Ukrainian military successfully repelled Russian attacks, while the partisan movement in the occupied Kherson region is inflicting heavy losses on Russian troops. According to Sergei Hrabsky, a military expert, the Russians increasingly use high-impact cluster shells targeting residential areas. Being unable to succeed on the front line, they terrorize civilians, using shells and missiles that cause excessive damage. This is a sheer war crime against the civilian population. It should be understood that the military wear helmets and bulletproof vests and are protected by trenches and fortifications, while civilians are more exposed. That's their tactic, to intimidate people, minimize popular resistance, and then demand a truce on their terms. That's their standard practice, and not only in the south. Their barbaric bombardments of Kharkiv are absolutely inexpedient military, and this situation is observed everywhere their firepower can reach, said Sergei Hrabsky. The recent Ukrainian strikes on Russian ammunition depots and bases may be early signs of the war tide turning against Russia, according to Mykhailo Podolyak, advisor to the presidential office head. Over the past week alone, we have destroyed 16 Russian bases and ammunition depots, he said, adding that Russia had to take an operative pause to reconstitute its decimated forces. They continue to fire, but now they have to save the ammunition and they shell selective targets. It's hard to predict where they are going to strike next, Mykhailo Podolyak said. They are taking an operative pause because they have suffered huge losses, including of ammunition. They need time to resupply, redeploy and reinforce. And it's good. Certainly, the tide is beginning to turn as we are attacking their depots and operative command centers. The most important for us is the amount of weaponry on the front line. As soon as the Ukrainian forces have them in sufficient amounts, the situation will change radically, and we will immediately begin to liberate the occupied territories, said Mykhailo Podolyak. Russia is moving reserve forces from across the country and assembling them near Ukraine's border for future offensive operations. However, according to the British military intelligence, a large proportion of the new infantry units are redeploying with obsolete or inappropriate equipment, like MTLB armored vehicles taken from long-term storage. Such vehicles were originally designed in the 1950s as tractor to pull artillery. They have very limited armor and only mount a machine gun for protection. In contrast, most of Russia's first echelon assault units were equipped with BMP-2 infantry fighting vehicles in February, featuring armor up to 33mm thick and mounting a powerful 30mm autocannon and an anti-tank missile launcher. the Russians are increasing their military presence in Belarus, with intensive training of pilots underway on 5 airfields, according to the Belaruski Hayun Monitoring Group. However, Ruslan Muzachuk, spokesman for the National Guard of Ukraine, rules out the immediate possibility of an offensive from Belarusian territory. Nevertheless, Ukraine is on alert and increasing its forces along the Belarusian border in order to be prepared for any developments. The New York Times reports that thousands of Ukrainian civilians are held in at least 18 Russian filtration camps in the occupied territories of Ukraine before some of them are deported to Russia. The Russian occupiers set up filtration camps at schools, sports complexes, and cultural establishments, where they seize Ukrainian passports and personal belongings from Ukrainian citizens, interrogate them, and then force them to apply for Russian citizenship. Vice Premier Irina Verishuk said that as of late June, around 1.2 million Ukrainian citizens, including 240,000 children, have been forcefully deported to Russia.